You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. Can help get the Henday built.
Ryan, what's your best guess on Tanev's health and availability?
Well, he skated yesterday. He skated this morning. He's Chris Tanev, so I'm assuming he's hurt because he's almost always hurt. He plays through a lot of stuff that would make, you know, I think the end of last season, it was explained to the assembled media on the Zoom call what he was playing through. We all sort of cringed, and I mean, that's just how Chris Tanev is wired. He's just a dude who plays through a lot of weird stuff, and I think if his arms and legs are attached and he's conscious, he's going to try to play. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Flames went and got him, and that's one of the reasons why he's been so good to the Flames. Like, he's just, you know, he's such a stabilizing presence. So until I am told otherwise, my assumption is he's playing tonight. But, I mean, it's the playoffs. You never know.
How impressed have you been with the play of the, I guess, what do you want to call him, a third pair defense and the two giants, Gabranson and Zadorov?
I'll say this. The only problem I have with those two guys is their cap hits. I think, you know, 3.75 for Nikita Zadorov is a little bit steep. Same with what they're shelling out for Gabranson. But for what they are, they've been excellent. Like, they've carved out a nice little niche for themselves. They're the tough minutes pair. Their entire job is to protect the net front. And, you know, Eric Gabranson's been fantastic on the first penalty kill unit with Chris Tanev. He's, you know, both those gentlemen have done exactly what you would have hoped they would do, and they've given the Flames some beef, for lack of a better term, on the back end. The Flames, they play a puck moving style, and I think the top two pairs they have really, you know, play well into that system. But you do need some guys who can play in their own zone and, you know, basically allow the Shillingtons and the Hannafins and the Andersons of the world to get those offensive zone shifts and get those reps in. So I think for what they do and what they allow their teammates to do, I think it's hard not to be really impressed with that pairing.
Ryan Pike joins us. When you look at the matchups in the regular season, Anderson and Hanifin played actually 27 and 28 minutes each against McDavid, and Tanev and Shillington were down at 20. Do you expect to see Hanifin and Anderson get the bulk of the McDavid matchup, or because he might be, you know, he's going to have the odd double shift with the Oilers going 11 forwards, is it going to be closer to 50-50?
I think it should probably be close to 50-50. And I think, you know, the Flames are pretty comfortable with both of those pairs playing against the high-end talents. If you look sort of at how Daryl Sutter, you know, distributes his matchups and his lines, he doesn't really chase matchups as much as other coaches do. This season that's been because, you know, the top two lines, you know, Backlund's line and Lindholm's line have proven, you know, adept at playing against the McDavids of the world. And so have the top two defensive pairings. And that sort of, I think it gives the Flames a bit of flexibility that they wouldn't have otherwise in terms of, you know, using their forwards in a much more even way rather than sort of leaning too heavily on guys early in the series.
I love Mangiapane. It seemed like he had a tough start to the round one, but finished strong. Is he, you know, how much leeway does he have with his head coach?
I think the challenge for Mangiapane is that, and I think Mangiapane is sort of where Gaudreau was, I'd say, 2 or 3 years ago, where Mangiapane, he's so good in the offensive zone, and, you know, the details of his game sometimes aren't as great in the neutral zone or the defensive zone. It's just, you know, he hasn't really figured out the where to be's, you know, entirely yet, but he's such a good offensive player. You don't score the kind of goals he scores without being good with the puck, and I think it's just for him figuring out, for lack of a better term, the music between the notes. Whereas, you know, I think there was one game in Dallas where, you know, the Mangiapane Backlund line just absolutely went nuts in the third period and won them the game because Mangiapane was just able to find the quiet areas of the ice, and Mangiapane and Backlund were just so good at stealing pucks and creating offense that way. And I think that's kind of the frustrating thing I think the coaching staff might have to deal with Mangiapane, where, you know, he's shown the ability to be an incredibly good high-end player, but he doesn't do it consistently enough to be that guy yet. I mean, that's, to be honest, that's probably the difference between him and Gaudreau. Gaudreau is so consistent and so composed and so mature, whereas Mangiapane, he's still got some rough edges in his game he needs to smooth out.
You look at the matchup game for Daryl Sutter. How intent do you think he'll be on matchups this series?
I don't think he'll be really, really focused on matchups, at least early on. I think as the series goes on, he might make some adjustments. You know, if there's particular players, you know, in the Dallas series, he was a little bit more focused on face-off matchups as the series went on, because there's a few games where the Flames got absolutely creamed in terms of the face-offs, and it really impacted their ability to possess the puck and play their style. And so that'll probably be the thing that the Flames coaching staff really focuses on. But the other thing I think they're going to try to do is, I mean, as much as possible, you know, they really like the skill they have in their top nine. I think they're going to try to do what they can to keep, you know, the fourth line away from Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. If they can get their fourth line out against the bottom six of Edmonton, I think they'll be pretty happy with that. And other than that, I think they'll probably just roll their lines and let things shake out as they do.
Talking Flames Oilers with Flames Nation's Ryan Pike. Ryan, I believe Daryl Sutter had a quote. He said that Johnny Gaudreau is kind of like taking a step to the next level in that last series. In your opinion, what did he figure out? What was Daryl talking about?
I just think he's, you know, it's his ability to, I guess, play in different situations and his ability to play in different zones. Because, you know, we've never, you know, Johnny Gaudreau has been an NHL player since 2014, 2015. And outside of the first three games or four games he played in the NHL, he's been an incredibly consistent offensive player in terms of getting the puck, possessing the puck, and doing smart things with the puck. His play away from the puck has been a work in progress, and I think he's been so much better. I mean, Daryl Sutter's flat out called him the team's best checker because he uses his speed and his tenacity and his elusiveness, the things that make him so good with the puck. He started to utilize them more consistently away from the puck in terms of, you know, chasing down back checks, creating turnovers, generating different looks and different types of situations for his teammates. And he does it so consistently now that, you know, there's sort of the running joke in the market that you almost call him Johnny Backcheck now, because usually the first guy back after a turnover, after the rush goes the other way, is 13. And that's not something that happened consistently enough in previous years. So I think it's those kind of things. And also I think, you know, I think Johnny Gaudreau is playing like he has something to prove. He's, you know, his reputation has been, you know, at various levels of hockey that he's a big time player, but he hasn't been able to do it consistently enough in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And in the Dallas series, he had, you know, arguably the goal of the series, that the penalty shot goal in game five. He had an incredible goal in overtime to win the Flames the series in game seven. And, you know, he's been a big game player, the guy that wants the puck on his stick when the games matter the most at every other level, and even in the NHL regular season. And I think the last series, I think, is the first time we've really seen, you know, beanpot Johnny Gaudreau, Christmas game, you know, against LA Johnny Gaudreau, where he scored a hat trick as a rookie. You know, the big time Johnny Gaudreau hasn't really shown up in the playoffs, but now he's sort of checked in. And if he's playing this way, if he's playing like he has something to prove, like he wants to, you know, make everyone who said he's not a playoff performer eat their words, then I think if he can do that consistently, the Flames are going to be a very dangerous team.
Ryan Pike joins us from Calgary as the Oilers and Flames game one goes tonight. It's hard to not at least consider the offseason when you have Gaudreau, a pending UFA, you have Tkachuk, who's an RFA, you have Mangiapane, who's an RFA, Zadorov and Gabranson, who have been very good in their roles in the third pair. How important is it, like, does Calgary got to take a run here? Like, Johnny Gaudreau's having this great year. Is he coming back to Calgary?
Well, I mean, if you listen to the general manager, he said, you know, they'll move heaven and earth and do everything they can to do it. But I mean, you know, it's easy to say that, but when Johnny Gaudreau's agent comes to you in the off season and says, you know, he wants something that starts with an 11 or a 10 to stick around long term, I think it might give them a little bit of pause. But I mean, if you were asking anyone before this playoff run, I think the question of can he do it in the playoffs would come in, because, you know, there's plenty of players that are great regular season players who get big, big tickets and don't really do anything in the postseason. And I think for Gaudreau, I think any of those whispers, any of those doubts you would have as a Flames hockey ops staffer in the back of your mind are getting quieted. And I think the longer the Flames run lasts and the more Johnny Gaudreau is the main guy driving that, I think all those little whispers go away and then turn into a, you know, a shout from the other side of your mind going, just pay the guy. Because, you know, the Flames had a similar situation to a certain extent with Michael Backlund several years ago, where Backlund was basically their defensive conscience, their two-way conscience. They, you know, if Backlund wasn't shutting down the opposition's big guns, they weren't doing anything. And so the Flames ended up probably paying, I'd say arguably, slightly over market value for Michael Backlund, because they probably would have needed to sign several guys to do what he does. If you let Johnny Gaudreau walk, the first thing you're going to do is go and try to replicate him. And you could try to drive yourself nuts signing a dozen guys to try to replicate his offense, or you could, you know, bite the bullet and pay what you got to pay to keep him around.
When you look at this series, what is the one area outside of, if you know, let's take the goalies out of it, did you think that the Flames have a clear advantage?
I would say the 5-on-5 game. You know, if you look at the four games these teams play in the regular season, you know, you can make a really strong argument that the Flames, when they're able to play 5-on-5 and just roll their lines, the Flames are the superior team. Especially, you know, I know the last time these teams met, it was a 9-to-5 game. The Flames scored 9 goals even strength, and I think that's sort of the peak of the Flames' powers. If they can do that kind of thing, I think they're going to feel pretty good about it. Conversely, I mean, you know, if you're the Flames, you want to keep it at 5-on-5, because the only time, you know, the first game of the season the Flames played against the Oilers, arguably outplayed them 5-on-5, lost because of special teams. Second game in January, the exact same script. And the only thing that stopped them in that last game of the season against the Oilers from following the same script is that Edmonton gave up 9 even strength goals. They scored 3 goals in the power play against Calgary. So if the Flames can avoid making the Oilers' power play a factor in the series, I think they're pretty comfortable playing with that group, because they've played them so many times that I think they have a comfort area in terms of going head-to-head with them 5-on-5.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting, because if you look since Jay Woodcroft took over, obviously there was the one game where Calgary scored 9, but since Woodcroft took over, the Flames had 96 goals, 5-on-5, the Oilers had 93. The Flames allowed 67 goals, 5-on-5, the Oilers allowed 73. It's actually been pretty close since Woodcroft took over. That 9 game really changes, you know, that was a real outlier. If you look at the other 38 games, you know, I would bet everything I own that the Oilers aren't giving up 9 5-on-5 goals. Probably not even 9 in the first 3 games of the series. I'd be surprised. But why did the Flames power play? And I know we can say Jake Oettinger played great, but at some point that's an excuse for your offensive guys, because you're paid to score. So what went wrong with the Flames power play in the first round? Like, it shouldn't be 8% when it was clicking at 24% down the stretch.
Let's see. Off the top of my head, face-offs. Dallas at times creamed the Flames in face-offs, especially in key situations. There's a couple games, I think, where the Flames ended up with maybe 1 or 0 face-off wins at the power play. So they tended to lose some draws, then chase, and then half of their power play getting set up. And I think that was a big issue for them. And I think, you know, maybe, I think on a psychological factor, if you're playing a Jake Oettinger who's just stopping everything you throw at him, maybe you try to get too fancy, you try to get too precise with your pucks. I mean, you know, if you look at some of the goals that Oettinger did give up, some of them were kind of greasy goals where they just threw a bunch of bodies and pucks at the net and made weird stuff happen. And, you know, I think the Flames at times, especially special teams, they're a skilled group, and I think they try to get a little bit too fancy and too cute on the power play, make one too many passes, try for the perfect shot rather than just trying to, you know, score ugly and win ugly. But I think, you know, for them, I think maybe the frustration of the first series might help them, because that's a lesson they need to learn. You know, if you're going to beat a goalie like Mike Smith has quietly been, you know, Markstrom was the quiet factor in the Dallas series, but Mike Smith has been excellent. You know, anyone who's watched, you know, the Edmonton Oilers play in the postseason, even late in the season when he came in, Mike Smith has been excellent. And I think if you're the Flames, if you're playing another goalie who feels confident is on a heater, maybe you don't try to get too cute like you did against Dallas. Maybe you just try to, you know, chip it in and take away his eyes and score an ugly one.
That's going to be a great game, man. Piker, we'll see you at the rink.
Take care, guys.